All right, for everyone. So welcome to the Pony Development Sync for Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. It's an exciting and fun time. Guess what we're going to talk about first today? We're going to talk about 1894, in particular, Style Guide.
Ooh.
Yes, because there were some things with that Joe wanted your feedback on before we if you scroll down into Joe's comments, there are a couple here, right? Let's see, the multi-line arrays one.
Uh-huh.
I prefer the Gem C style. What do you think?
Just a second, I'm trying to get the version that's the, oh, damn it.
Yeah, if you go to
sure,
the file.
Let me click on it, but then
okay.
I can't.
Okay, so go to the file and I'll tell you the lines, right? Style guide, load the diff.
Yep, got it.
It's the whole thing. Go to line 187.
Sorry, just a second. It's loading.
Or, no.
No, it's,
yeah.
There we go. Now it's loading.
Yeah, the ones that, like,
oh, yeah, the Joe one drives me crazy because the line just sticks way out there and you no longer have a lineup between the square brackets.
Okay, so Sylvan likes the opposite of Joe. Sean doesn't care that much. I'm good. Sean is good with whatever. I suggest rock, paper, scissors between Theo and Joe. Okay,
oh, no.
There's my comment. What if you can, you all can meet in the middle of the country and rock, paper, scissors it out?
Do you have to go to green space?
Hmm?
Do I have to go to green space?
No, I think you'd meet somewhere in the middle of the country. if you don't get that joke, go listen to start about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Eventually you'll find the one that discusses green space. It's related to when Pony Stable became a pony project. So do you want to go through this real quick, Sylvan, and add or just do you want to go through, can you go through it after this and add any comments that you might have? And
yep,
we can work out the last bit. I would say not next week because Joe's not around then either, but the week after we can just all get together for one and suss it out.
Awesome.
I mostly don't care. Like, I like Joe's better, but in the end, I don't really care. As long as it's consistent.
I left a comment. So the, one of the big ones for me is not just that the brackets line up, but that it matches other functional languages. F-sharp, OCaml, ML. And it means there's going to be consistency for across that. Yeah, and those long dangling lines drive me crazy.
I don't care that much. Yeah. But, okay, yep, there we go. Let's see. Is 1888? Let's see. Okay, we shouldn't merge 1888 until 1887. And there's nothing for
1887. Is it open?
Is 1887 is still open? Okay.
What?
What? What? 1887 is an issue. And 1888 is a PR where Joe said he doesn't think that it should be merged until 1887 is addressed. And it looks like...
I see. Got it. Yep.
Yeah, so for some reason, the bug, the fix that 1888 does also breaks some other code because of 1887. I'm not sure why, but like the code is... Yeah. But if we fix 1887, 1888 won't break that code anymore, essentially. Right.
Okay.
And you're good to move forward on 1887, Paul?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well,
you mean talk about it?
Do you want to talk about it, or do you feel good?
Yes, please. I'd like to see what Sylvan thinks about it.
Sorry, I'm a little behind because of last week. Receivers can be approximated by implicit arguments. Okay. Infer the receiver type arg based on the type of the receiver expression. Decay the type in order to fit the receiver constraint. What receiver constraint?
Maybe don't pay too much attention to that comment.
Okay.
That was more how I'm formalizing it now.
Okay.
So the original issue is that when you type check the body of a box method, you assume that the viewpoint this, is only going to be box, ref, or val. But when you use it, you're allowed to use it with any subtype of box, which includes box, ref, val, but also ISO and transition.
Yes and no, Minister. You can use it on ISO only or transition only if you've consumed it, in which case it's perfectly fine to treat it as a ref.
Well...
Or if you're doing auto recovery.
You've consumed it, but then you alias it when you do the call, so it becomes an ISO again.
No. No, definitely not. Receiver is not ISO if you consume it.
Well, it becomes an ISO hat, right? The consume makes it an ISO hat, but then the call... alias is the ISO hat, so it becomes an ISO
again. It is not ISO. If you have a fun box, the receiver is not ISO inside of that thing. You can't return the receiver and expect it to be isolated. Absolutely not. You will break soundness.
Well, so the compiler... Okay, so... because what the compiler does is it replaces the this viewpoint... by ISO, if you call it on a consume ISO thing. This is what the piece of code at the top does.
Okay.
And this is where the unsoundness comes from.
Well, I'm a little bit confused. That'll be weaker than ref. So I'm a bit confused. What's unsound here? I mean, we could be...
So ISO arrow ref... is a tag, I believe. No, wait. Let me get the viewpoint adaptation table.
Indeed, it is. Yep, ISO arrow ref is tag.
And so, from the caller's viewpoint, okay, viewpoint's not a good word. From the caller's perspective, you're giving it a tag argument, and you're getting out a box, because this arrow ref is a tag.
So it's type checking it as this on the way in.
Yes.
I see. So it's about the way in, not the return type. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. But from the callee's perspective, this can only be box, ref, or val. And all of these cases, X is...
So in this particular case...
B-box.
In this particular case... No, not just in this particular case. The problem is that replacing this directly, I see exactly what it is now. Thank you so much for bringing me through that. It should not be replaced with an ISO or trend ever. If we get ISO or transition, to replace this with, it should be replaced with ref.
Yeah.
And that'll solve it.
Yeah, so this is what I was talking about, is that we should decay the receiver in a way. Maybe that's not the best way.
Yeah, I mean, it's decay is a fine term. Yeah, absolutely.
But make it a ref or a vowel, but these give different guarantees. But ref is probably what we want most of the time.
Because it's the most permissive, yeah. If you wanted to get a vowel from an isolated transition and bring the thing back as a vowel, that's fine. It'll be really easy to do with a recover anyway.
Yeah.
Actually, it's even easier than that because I believe you could say consume vowel revealer dot reveal, and that would do it. So let's make it a ref if we see an isolated trend, and then if you wanted a vowel, you can say consume vowel revealer dot reveal.
Yeah. So if you look at my last comment, there's a link to like implementation of that. But it only handles the nominal and the type param ref case.
You have
and I'm not really sure how to handle other cases.
Speaking of style guides, your braces are in the wrong place.
Oh.
Which is why your code is unreadable.
Yes, okay. I said it was a hockey fix.
The reason Sean is laughing is that's a joke. Don't take that seriously. The code is perfectly readable.
One of my favorite things when I first started working in the Pony compiler was Sylvan spending 30 minutes explaining the whys and whatnots of how on earth the C formatting style came about, because it's not like any standard style. It's like five or six of them jammed together, and I kept being like, but if you're doing it like from this style here, why is it from this style over here, blah, blah, blah.
It's all compromises. It's all compromises.
I have a few complaints about the C style guide, but whatever.
The good news is we'll hopefully have a compiler written in Pony at some point.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then we only need one style guide.
No, we're going to need two because you can't write the garbage collector in Pony.
Ah, that's true, yeah.
Can you not?
No.
In some intricate way.
And the scheduler and all that stuff?
No, okay, maybe not.
Because we and the memory allocator? No.
Yeah, there will still be a runtime, I guess.
We could introduce unsafe code that was equivalent to C in Pony, but I don't really...
Not really a point.
Yeah, no real point to it, yeah. Okay, so just having a look at this perfectly readable fix. Sorry, that was just winding people up about style guides. So if we've got a function... and it's a box function, and the origin is nominal or a type param ref. Ooh, no, that's not quite right, is it?
What do you mean?
Because we do replace this. Let's have a quick look on replace this. Because I believe replace this will do a more complicated replacement than that. Because the width can handle... a much more complex type, which is to say...
Oh, yeah. So it's not handling all cases, but the nominal and the type param ref cases should be right. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that as soon as you have a union type or an arrow type or anything there, you're not going to get what you expect. And I think
I should be handling more cases. I just wasn't sure how to handle them.
Ah, yeah. So I suspect the right thing to do is instead of trying to fix it up there before calling viewpoint replace this, it would be the way to do it is actually in viewpoint.c in replace type.
Yeah.
Actually, let's see. Replace type gets called from... viewpoint replace and viewpoint. I think it's just viewpoint replace. Yeah, it's only called in viewpoint replace. And viewpoint replace is called from, of course, replace this. Oops. But I believe, no, stop that. I believe, oh. Well, I didn't expect that. It's also called in replace type param. So it's done in reify type param. So I think the right place is actually in viewpoint replace this, because viewpoint replace this but then there's in reify this as well calls replace this. Where's reify this called from?
Except reify this never calls it with a ISO transition. It's always a ref valve box.
Ah, look at that. So it is, because it's all in reify pair.
For now.
But it is lookup. The real key is the lookup. So I think actually you've done it in the right place, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after all that, you're absolutely right. That is the right place to do it. But I think what we should do is probably have something that more comprehensively walks the available types, and so that if you've got a union type or if you've got all that sort of stuff, arrow types, it still collapses ISO and transition to ref. Other than that, like, this is totally the right idea. But then it needs to be recursive and stuff like that. I'm not quite sure if there's an existing function that'll help you with that.
Yeah. But my main concern is, what if it's an arrow type? Because the arrow impacts the capability of whatever the type is. And I'm not sure how to handle that case. I haven't put too much thought into it, but
I think you can just...
Because if you have a box arrow ISO, for example, you don't want to move that into your ref.
Box arrow ISO. Actually, that
wouldn't be.
That's absolutely fine.
Oh yeah, because you'd only be replacing the ISO, not the arrow.
Correct.
I just have to check up all the cases. But.
Yeah, I suspect it's actually okay in every case.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that'd be good.
Slightly hard to believe, but I think it actually is.
All right, that might be a good way of saying it then.
Every now and then I search through the code base and I'm amazed by something. And in this particular case, I'm amazed that TK union type only appears 73 times in the entire code base. I would have guessed like a million. All right. So you're going to need something recursive. I'm not sure if there's something there off the top of my head that will help with that to walk through and decay that. I like decay as a term. That's good. Actually, I suspect you could use a variant as something, as a base to work on, a variant of alias in alias.c?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few examples of cases where it does stuff recursively on the AST.
Yeah.
So I can just use that as a base.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's all I need to say.
Awesome. Thanks again for leading me through that.
I see Sean just assigned me to the bug. I have a few bugs assigned to me. In general, I probably won't be able to work on the compiler until end of June, which is when my project finishes, because I'm focusing on that for now.
Good.
But yeah, after that, I'll fix the few issues I found.
Excellent.
It sounds reasonable. Next. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about 1902. It's a fun one. Issue 1902. Which will take you to the mailing list.
Oh. Well, that's rather exciting.
Tuck me in. So, yeah. So, there are two parts of that. Is that one, date is not doing the right thing somewhere. Like, if it's going to have a thing which calls like time GM on it, then it shouldn't allow you to have a date before 1970. And then the question that James had from that is there a way to express date times before 1970, which would be two separate issues, but you know, both ones to discuss. So I feel like the simple thing for the date class as it exists right now is to not allow negative values so that it goes before 1970, so that you at least date time would make sense. And then have a second thing where we can talk about how do we want to represent dates that are earlier than the Unix epoch.
So, fun with dates. You technically a time T is actually an I-64, so that it's perfectly fine to have a time less than zero. Unfortunately, the truth is it returns -1 on error. And if that were the case, then the second before January 1st, 1970 is always an error time. And so that's not very helpful. Right. That's just the semantics of time, though.
Yes. So I think it's either we don't use time or have time on that, and it can have values before 1970 or something else.
Interestingly, get time of day as opposed to time is happy to use a negative number in TVSEC.
Should we switch to get time of day?
Well, we use get time of day for dot now. In fact, the only place where we use time is in seconds, and that's okay because that's the seconds now and definitely is after 1970. So date.time on that date calls time GM. Oh, that's going to be fun, isn't it? Because that's the problem, is that time GM hates us, and to be fair, I hate it. So
the moment that I saw his email, I was like, I'm going to bet I know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because -1 is a mighty specific number to put in there.
Yeah.
It's a magic number, too.
It's magic. Yeah, so time GM returns -1 on error.
But so by the same token, right? Like the actually no, I guess that is right, isn't it? Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
That's a pretty impressive negative number there. So a lot of this stuff comes down to date formats don't work. And it's problematic. And so we have different approaches to this. Windows says time starts, and I think it's like 1600 or something like that. Unix says 1970. If you start too early, you get into Julian versus Gregorian calendars, and the fact that the United Kingdom didn't switch off of Julian calendars until approximately yesterday.
And the whole Sweden thing.
And then, of course, there's the fact that, you know, Gregorian calendars aren't even universal. Anyway, possibly we could rename date to something where it's like a POSIX date or something like that. There's writing our own code to handle everything.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Reverse Gregorian stuff, which is
I don't want, I feel like time libraries are one of those wonderful things that people eventually come up with really nice things for, right?
And
are not really, shouldn't be part of a standard library. I just think that this shouldn't do something which just feels blatantly wrong. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And not worry about actual complex date handling.
Yeah. So like from the Rust standard library, I think what they do is they have a basic like time or date, I don't know how it's called, that only handles like POSIX standard types, standard times. And then there's like an out of standard library package that does like more fancy stuff with like the correct way of doing it if you actually want that kind of time.
Yeah. Yeah, because you immediately get into proleptic Gregorian calendars and whether you should be providing astronomical day numbers and all of this stuff. So yeah, I think probably the right thing is, hey, community, what do you think a date time library should look like? And let's all build one. And meanwhile, date.create should indeed probably take... Well, I mean, one approach is just to give it a U64 instead of an I64 for seconds, and that's one way to do it. Or
that,
we could...
That makes me a happy camper. That was my first thought.
Yeah, or we can, you know, have it raise an error if there's something.
I like the U64 better. I don't know. If you're not allowed to give a negative number, U64 seems like the right way to express that rather than an error.
It does, except then we're going to have to check for overflow anyway, because GM time... We'll treat that as an I-64. So if you get a really big U-64,
okay, error, right, good point. This is...
I would be tempted, instead of raising an error, to say, for all negative numbers, use zero. Welcome to the beginning of the world, January 1st, 1970.
I'm okay with that as long as we document it.
Wait, sorry, I missed. Why can it not be a U64?
Because when you pass it to the underlying POSIX call, it will interpret that as an I64 anyway, and that high bit will be set, and it will happily give you the negative number.
All right.
Darn thing.
Date library should come from the community.
Wait, by the way, what's the... Pony behavior on integer overflow? Is it wrapping?
Wrapping, absolutely. Like all same things.
Some definition of saying.
Yeah. That's thank you very much. Very much like the unreadable code.
Oh, sorry. you.
Yeah.
Renamed you POSIX date from date. And if passed a value less than 0, comma, we will change it to 0. We need to document this magic change to 0 behavior. We decided to do the 0 change rather than switch to an U64 as the underlying system calls use I64 and for large U64 values we get surprising overflow values. Okay, so this is, I'm going to call this a bug that's ready for work, and is difficulty easy. All right. Sound good?
Yep.
Cool. All right, we're at the 4 o'clock hour. Does anybody have anything they would like to discuss? I just gave away my time zone. No, I guess not. That was a very long me waiting for reasons where I think my brain is tired for that. And nothing happened. Okay. Let's see. What do we have that is? Okay. Sylvan, let's go back to 1711, issue 1711.
All right.
Apparently the lib unwind thing in 1885 did not fix. I feel like, did we discuss?
1711 doesn't appear to be open. What's the number again?
1719.
Did I say 1711?
Or I heard
1711. I heard
1711. Okay, whoever validated I'm wrong, stop that.
Sorry.
Okay, so yeah, my patch doesn't work. The issue is that I can't really go forward on this because I don't have a 64-bit ARM to hack on. Yeah. Someone needs to really do a full 64-bit ARM port. There may be other things.
Okay. I'm going to add that as a last week in pony item. And that's good. We can leave that as is. And shall we close your PR?
I just did.
Oh, that's why I can't find it to close it. Okay, then. All right, Mr. What was his name? Quick Draw McGraw?
Ooh, Quick Draw McGraw.
Showing my age. Okay. So the only things we have left is marked as needs discussion at sync are all ones that would be related to get them in front of Benoit. So that's it for right now for those. There are a couple we could look at here. Sylvan, did you see the exhaustive match for case methods in union of tuples of unions, ones that came out of the exhaustive match that Joe opened up?
Which number?
1893 and 1892.
Union of Tuples, Tuples of Unions. We need to get rid of unions of tuples and tuples of unions. They're fundamentally wrong.
That's what I said when we discussed this last time, is that what Sylvan's going to say when he sees this is that we need to get rid of them because they're wrong.
Yes.
Boom. So, yeah, you're aware that's there in 1893. I just wanted to make sure that you saw
it. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Well, that's all we have for right now then.
All right.
Hey. Cool. Does other one more time? Any issues that anybody wants to go over or anything for right now? I have one, which is a question for Sylvan. If nobody has anything,
cool. What's up?
How's the awful GC thing coming?
I ran into a problem in that I don't think I'm convinced now that the formalism that I came up with was wrong. Yeah. So the good news is it's with the hash table fixes, we're no longer crashing. We're leaking memory. Incompleteness is better than unsoundness. Yay, kind of, but not good enough. But I am still working on this. And yeah, the core problem is that I came up with a way that the fix that we thought was in place would change the incompleteness into unsoundness. In that by protecting those reference counts, you could create a situation where later, if one of the actors frees something, but then holds on to an internal pointer in that object graph, which then points to another internal pointer in that object graph, neither of which, for which that actor had reference counts, it'll manufacture reference counts for the first one, but not the second one, believing that the first one is owned by an actor that has a reference count for the second one, but it might not because it could have been a third actor that sent the original pointer. That probably didn't make any sense because it's a really complex object graph and I didn't draw it on a whiteboard. But it's, yeah.
No, well, okay. It probably makes sense to nobody else because nobody has had the long conversation with you about this.
Yeah, for you, it probably makes perfect sense.
That made sense to me. Like, yes, and I thought about it for a moment, I'm like, oh my God, that would be ridiculously confusing if you and I hadn't spent like an hour going over this and whether we thought it was sound or not.
Yeah.
Damn it. See, I was hoping that you'd prove that our gut on this was
wrong.
Right. No, I was hoping you would prove that our gut was right, that it would work.
As with many things with these kind of algorithms, it's fine with two participants and broken with three participants.
Yeah, they're wicked hard.
Yeah.
Wicked hard. That's too bad. I'd really love to close the most obvious manifestation of it, the consume ISO send as val aspect of it.
Yeah,
some of the others are harder to trigger. That's probably, at least from what I've seen so far, that's the easiest triggering of it when you consume an ISO and send it as a val to another actor.
Yeah.
It's also the easiest once you know it exists to avoid, but you have to know it exists.
Indeed.
Alrighty. Well, that's good to know. One of the moment that's fixed and everything and it works, I'm rushing a release right out the door.
Okay.
I mean, like, I can be on vacation in the middle of somewhere where there's no internet or anything, but I'll magically know, and then I'll find a way to use my brain to cause the release to happen.
Excellent.
Mental powers. All right. Thanks for coming, everyone. I'll see you next week. And if you want to have a lot of fun arguing about the style guide, that'll be 2 weeks from now. All right.
Awesome.
Talk.